This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Slutsky joins me live in studio. He is a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and the subject of a recent Daily Progress article in yesterday's edition, which we want to talk about. But before we get to that, welcome to the program, and I want to get your thoughts about what happened last week.
Well, this may come as a surprise to your listeners, but I thoroughly enjoyed Tuesday night, I got to tell you. I think I enjoyed it on a partisan basis, but much more importantly, I think that this election changed the United States. And to me, it was breathtaking that it could happen. And I think that the circumstances for African Americans and other minority groups in this country are now different. The belief that there's a future available that has no bounds is actually a legitimate belief. And I think the dynamic, the relationship among the races has changed forever, and I think in a good way.
It's not just rhetoric anymore for a child of color in this country to say you can be anything you want to be. You can, you know, it's true. He or she can look and see a black president for the first time in our country's history.
But I also, you're right, Coy, and I also think it reflected on white Americans, because white Americans were able to, at least in that moment, get beyond race and vote for the person they thought was going to look out for their interests most effectively, and they transcended race in doing it, and that's huge.
What are your thoughts on the Obama administration moving forward? What would you like to see? The big conversation now is, you know, how will they do it? What's their approach? Are they going to big bang it, or are they going to, you know, roll stuff out incrementally like Clinton did and take one thing at a time, or are they just going to try to do as much as they can at one time?
There are a lot of battlefronts that need to have attention, and I'm not sure anybody is going to be able to get it all done immediately, much less even in the first year or two. So I'd be surprised if they make a whole lot of progress right out of the box. But this is a unique group of people, and I got to believe that if anybody's up to the task, it's the new administration. I think they're going to try many things. I think Obama is actually committed to reaching across the aisle and implementing his agenda in a bipartisan way. So a lot could get done if he operates that way.
We're talking with David Slutsky of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Let me ask you to put on those headphones, and we'll take a call from Mike. Mike is in Charlottesville, and Mike, thank you for the call, for joining the conversation. You're on with David Slutsky. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm just going to rapid fire some questions to you. First, the House delegation in Virginia seems to be majority Democratic. Both senators are Democratic, and Virginia just voted for a Democrat to go to the White House. So do you think Virginia is permanently blue? And if so, what's it going to take to get the House of Delegates to be majority blue?
It's a fair question, but I got to tell you, I'm not the least bit convinced that Virginia is a blue state. I think at best it's purple. I'm very proud of Virginia for electing Jim Webb 2 years ago, but I wouldn't describe Jim Webb, certainly Jim Webb the candidate, as being a leftist or anything remotely like that. I think Mark Warner, who won resoundingly, won in part because he's a far superior governor than his opponent was, but I think largely he won because Mark Warner is trying to be a centrist Democrat. He doesn't want to be positioned or targeted as a liberal, if you will. And I think that resonates in Virginia far more than, if you will, leftist politics. So I don't think of this as a blue state at all. I think of Virginia as a truly independent state, which demonstrated in this election that it's capable of voting one way or the other.
So you think blue or Democratic means leftist?
I'm sorry?
You think blue or Democratic means leftist?
No, I think that the notion of the Democratic Party being the dominant party in Virginia is a little premature. I think that the Democratic Party has a lot of elements to it, and I think the Virginia brand of Democratic politics is much more of a centrist brand. I think that a number of Republicans voted for Democrats in these last two elections, not because they've changed in their ideology as voters, but rather because they had the opportunity to vote for centrist candidates who just happened to have D after their name on the ballot.
And maybe that's why we see the House of Delegates being, you know, continuing to stay red. Do you see the partisanship of the House of Delegates changing in it?
You know, it'll be interesting to watch. I don't know. This next session that starts in January will be a trial, if you will, for how much bipartisanship this particular General Assembly is capable of. They certainly have some incentive after this last election to try and be a little bit more collaborative. I don't think the Republicans are foolish enough to believe that their in control of the House of Delegates by right, if you will, they're going to need to earn the voters' support in the November 09 election. And I think they're likely to be, I hope they're going to be infinitely more bipartisan this time than they've been in the past. And as a result, maybe they'll actually get their job done.
Mike, thank you for the call. Always appreciate the calls and joining the conversation. We're talking with David Slutsky, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Excuse me. And speaking of the House of Delegates, you were the subject of a Daily Progress article in yesterday's edition, which basically put out there what a lot of us have heard rumored around town for weeks now, is that you were mulling a race against Rob Bell for that House of Delegates seats, which he currently sits in, and he will be up for re-election a year from now, next November. First, your thoughts on the article. Did it accurately capture? And it never said you haven't announced. We need to make that clear. You haven't announced you're going to run. You've just shared openly now that it's something you're considering. You've been approached by folks who've asked you to consider it. First, your reaction to the article, was it accurate in the quotes and all that? And second, flesh it out for us. Give us the backstory.
Well, first of all, the article was unexpected for me. A number of people in the Democratic Party have said that in their desire to get control of the General Assembly in time for redistricting, they would like to run a strong candidate against Rob Bell. And a number of people in the party at the state level and locally have encouraged me to consider running. But that's as far as it had gotten. I had put my thinking cap on and considered the pros and cons and haven't yet, hadn't by the time the article was written, and I'm not likely in the next few months even to make a decision. I'm not going to decide this till the first of the year. The issue for me is, well, let me step back. The article was pretty darned accurate. I think it summarized the fact that I'm thinking about it, but that I have two other viable choices, those being to run for re-election for my Board of Supervisors seat or to, frankly, step aside and not be in elected politics again, which served me well for nearly 50 years. Some days I think it served me better. But then there's also the issue in the article where it talked about what would be the major reasons why I might want to run against Rob Bell. And I think that the article accurately captured some of those reasons. There was one fundamental inaccuracy in the article that I would like to point out, and it's that it said that I ran as an independent 3 years ago, and I'm not really an independent. I'm a Democrat and proud of it.
But you ran as a Democrat.
I ran as a Democrat. Yeah. I was on the ballot as a Democrat. I was the Democratic Party nominee. And the reason – actually, I was advised when I was considering running for the Board of Supervisors by many people to run as an independent because no Democrat had been on the ballot in the Rio District since the 80s. And they said, you can't win as a Democrat. And my response was, well, but I am. Doesn't mean I can't collaborate well with Republicans. I have a very good working relationship with Ken Boyd, and he's a fairly conservative Republican that sits on the Board of Supervisors with me. But I am a Democrat, and so I did run as one. And if I were to run for Rob Bell's seat or anybody else's seat, you can count on it being as a Democrat.
We're talking with David Slutsky. For the folks who are just joining us from Des Moines now, who just moved here, because a lot of folks are new to this area, redistricting in Virginia, you mentioned that as a possible impetus to consider this run. Explain that to us, what we're talking about when you say redistricting.
Well, that really doesn't need to be explained to someone from Iowa because it's true across the country. We have every 10 years in our Constitution a requirement for a census, and we will be taking one in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the result of that census will inform the district boundaries of the federal congressional seats as well as the state General Assembly seats. And so whoever is the party that's in power historically in Virginia has had the prerogative to draw those boundaries in a way that favor reelection of their candidates. Frankly, my hope is that if I do run for General Assembly and get in, that a movement starts to actually do a bipartisan redistricting strategy this time. I know if the Democrats get control, they probably would, in general, disagree with me on this right now. But I think that's the fairest way to do these districts, and I'm hopeful that's where we end up.
We're talking with David Slutsky, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Give us some more insight into what goes through your mind when you consider possibly running. What are you going to be thinking about, looking for, excuse me, we're all getting over colds, considering here in the next couple of months that will lead to your decision?
Well, the lead to the decision will involve a number of personal issues. But if we want to look at why one would choose to run, let's look at the issues that we as Albemarle County citizens, or Green and Fluvanna and Orange citizens in this case, are having to confront with respect to government. And as a citizen, I would like to see my General Assembly doing its job. And I would argue that it has not been doing that, particularly in the House of Delegates, for the last several years. It's been historically the case that education is funded more or less at the local level. There's significant money that's coming out of the state for that, but a lot of the budget for schools comes out of local governments. And the bargain has been that the state government would be responsible for transportation infrastructure. And that's a sizable chunk of money every year. And unfortunately, in Virginia, while local governments have been, for the most part, holding up their end of the bargain, our General Assembly has not been. We've seen a drop since 1998-99 fiscal year of more than 50%. Well, we've gone from about $7 million adjusted to below $3 million adjusted, coming from the state to our local area to be used on transportation. And the cost of projects has gone up significantly in that period of time as well.
That's why we have all these great projects on the books that can't be built.
We experienced a lot of growth in central Virginia, not just Albemarle, but Albemarle and the surrounding counties have experienced a fair amount of growth over the last 20 years. It's slowed down considerably the last two or three years, but in the aggregate, we've had an awful lot of new folks come to town. Now, the idea is if you're going to have those new folks come in, there needs to be infrastructure to accommodate that expanded population. And by infrastructure, that means roads, it means bike trails, it means hopefully expanded transit in our case, but it means fairly expensive projects that are supposed to be funded by the General Assembly. And what we found is we've got, in Albemarle County in particular, we've been pretty proactive with our growth management as best we can, given limited enabling legislation from Richmond. But we have created a growth area. We have done some things to try and manage our growth patterns so that they'd be more concentrated in our growth areas and less concentrated in our rural areas. And we've also gone about master planning. In those master plans, we created an expectation among our constituents that certain projects would be built, certain roads would be put in place to accommodate all these new folks that have moved in. And the money's just not there. So year after year, Richmond goes into session and they come out empty. And now the burden shifts to the local government. We have little choice to go ahead and raise our local taxes, pardon me, to pay for at least a fraction of some of these projects because of the dereliction of duty that's going on in Richmond.
So we're talking about David Slutsky. You would argue then that the folks who control the House of Delegates, the conservative wing of the Republican Party, some would argue the anti-tax, anti-government wing, have abandoned this core responsibility of government to fund infrastructure.
I would frame it a little differently than that, because I don't think that those good folks would view themselves as having abandoned anything. I think what it is their historic view of the world has passed in relevance. I think you saw that in the recent election, the presidential election. I think old ideas that no longer work eventually are rejected by the electorate and a new paradigm develops. And I think we're at one of those moments in America. There are a lot of people who are saying, you know, this notion of trickle-down economics where the wealthy are allowed the opportunity of expanding their wealth under the assumption, with the bargain, if you will, that they will look out for the economically disadvantaged and pull them up on their own, that they will, you know, pull them up out of
start businesses, create jobs, donate to their church, that kind of stuff.
Right. The rich will take care of the poor, if you will. They'll put them to they'll give them jobs. They'll put them to work. They'll make opportunities happen that the underclass, if you will, can then benefit from. But it isn't working. What we've seen in the last 15 years in Washington is this sentiment, this ideological view that trickle down is the solution, and that, you know, lazy people. I heard from somebody in a restaurant the other day was asking me about the recent election. What I thought, he said, "So, are you actually voted for Obama? Don't you realize that he's going to make all the lazy people not have to work ever?" And I thought it was just a really bizarre comment. Yeah. Anyway, I guess my summary point, Coy, is that I think that the politics have changed in the Commonwealth of Virginia, just as they have in the country as a whole. And I think some of the old ideas about let's not have any taxation, let's not have much government, let's have the people controlling their own destiny, and it sounds great on paper, but let everybody basically fend for themselves, didn't work. And I think what we're going to see in this country is a shift back in the other direction, where we recognize that government does have a role. It has a role in terms of making the rules that govern behavior, that guide the process of governance. there's also a role for the federal government in particular, but also state and local governments, to fund things on behalf of their constituents. In Albemarle County, in Greene County, in Fluvanna County, we need right now from our state government the money to build our transportation infrastructure that we desperately need and don't have. And frankly, that's a big issue for me, and I've been very frustrated these last few years, and that is a big incentive for me to consider running for this House of Delegates seat, because the incumbent, frankly, hasn't done much to support providing for transportation funding.
We're talking with David Slutsky, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and unfortunately we're running out of time, but I do have a minute left if there's anything you want to add. Well, sorry. We'll have you back in, I'm sure, because we just didn't have much time. But
you invite a politician to say whatever they want. That's a scary thought. Let me make it very clear. I have by no means made up my mind. I'm not playing a game here. I'd have to give up a lot to decide to run for this seat.
And it would mean not running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors as well.
That's exactly right, because I'm up for re-election in November of 2009 for my seat, and I therefore couldn't run for both. So I'd have to give it up and basically run against an entrenched incumbent with a huge war chest. Rob Bell, it's not a secret. He's got upwards of $400,000 available for his campaign before he gets started. And I don't have anything.
David, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.